Welcome to another podcast. It's been a great week. Had a fantastic group session. And last night, I'm doing this podcast the following day. And had six members in group. And we talked a lot about the power of the mind, and the word that we use in psychology a lot is neuroplasticity, which means that the brain is always changing. And when an individual relapses, they go through five stages that it just seem to be universal across the board. And I'll explain why I use the word neuroplasticity as we go on in this podcast. But this is what happens when an individual relapses. The first thing that happens is a fleeting thought enters the mind. Then mental attention. Then one begins to make plans. Then the acting out occurs. And then there's remorse and guilt afterwards. Those five steps seem to repeat themselves over and over again. Now, here is something that I've noticed with those who struggle with addiction, who are in recovery and striving to get better, that it's important for them to understand. That fleeting thought, I'll ask the question many times, are we responsible for every thought that pops into our head? How would you respond to that? I'll just give you a minute. Are you responsible for every thought that pops into your head? Well, I would certainly hope not. Everybody has strange thoughts that pop into their head from time to time. These thoughts are the things that are very troubling to many. And they have a difficult time dealing with the reality that they have unwanted thoughts that come into their mind. But that's not the issue. That's where acceptance and surrender comes in, because where thoughts come from are the unconscious regions of the brain where we do not have direct access to. And so when a fleeting thought pops into the mind, that is the time when it comes to your awareness. The next step, step number two in any relapse, is mental attention, or letting the fantasy in. The challenge with addictive thoughts is that they're called sticky thoughts. They and if you were really to get into the underworkings and the underground of the advertising business, it does with me. It really frustrates me and makes me angry, because the advertisers do something called limbic advertising. They specifically target the limbic regions of the brain, not the prefrontal cortex, because that's not the part that buys. They develop products that grab attention instantly, and sexual thoughts are some that do. Images do. Many who describe their relapse process, they're doing fine, they're minding their own business on the computer, and they get an email or they see an ad, and all it takes is that split second for that advertisement to grab their mind, grab their attention. And if a thought is allowed to stay even for a couple of seconds, the brain starts to flood itself with chemicals, with a dopamine chemical. And especially with sexuality, this is what we believe now happens. If you let a thought into your mind and start fantasizing about it, dopamine is instantly released. You can relate to this, and that even in the mind, without seeing things actually with your physical eyes, you can be viewing pornography. And your mind is flooding itself with dopamine, feel-good chemicals. That is, again, another awareness of the power of the mind's eye. The brain cannot tell the difference between a thought that is repeatedly and vividly imagined and something that is actually seen with the physical eyes. And so that's where recovery must take place, in the central regions of our mind with our thoughts, through awareness training and mindfulness training. But anyway, if the thought is allowed in and the fantasy begins, dopamine floods the system, which is a very powerful feel-good chemical. Another chemical, norepinephrine, comes into play, and that chemical, we believe, is associated with memories. And so it goes to those places where memories are housed of all the past euphoric experiences that are created from sexuality. And then if an individual actually completes the act of having an orgasm or acting out with the computer or someone, you know, an image on the computer, a very, very powerful substance is released called oxytocin. Oxytocin is what is known as the bonding chemical that mothers produce when they have children so that they can breastfeed. Also, males have this substance. And so, literally what is happening with the internet and with sexuality, when you are looking at something online and you act out to it, go through those stages of dopamine, norepinephrine, and then oxytocin, it actually, what is happening, you are becoming bound in a very significant way to the computer, where it's becoming a relationship. In a way, you're having a relationship with it. And then after the acting out, another chemical is released called serotonin, which is a kind of the come-down, feel-good, balancing-out chemical. But however, with addictive substances and with pornography, and this is universal, I receive emails from all over the world. It doesn't matter what religion one belongs to, what country one is from, the same thing happens. After a very short period of time, one is inundated with feelings of depression, discouragement, frustration, irritation, a foggy mind, because it does something to the soul of a person. We just instinctively, it's just like we weren't meant to see such images with our natural eyes. And so the way to attack this is not to attack the pornography industry. It's a useless cause. It's like prohibition with alcohol. That never worked, nor will this. The only way it will work is you, as one individual, choosing to make a difference in your life by understanding the power of your thoughts, understanding how the mind works through mindfulness and awareness, and so forth. There's Dr. Jeffrey Swartz of the UCLA School of Medicine has a fantastic statement. He wrote a book called The Mind and the Brain and talks about the difference between the mind. The mind is this energy inside of us where our spirit dwells, and the brain is the physical component. The brain, or the mind, works through the brain, and it's the brain, the physical wiring of the brain, that creates problems. And this statement that, listen to this statement by Dr. Jeffrey Wartz, as he works with a number of patients who struggle with obsessive compulsive disorder, which is very similar in many ways to the obsessive nature of addictions. He says, the quality of awareness or attention, remember the second step in the five step of a relapse, fleeting thoughts, number one, mental attention, number two, the quality of awareness or attention one gives to a thought at any moment determines the nature of consciousness that arises and thus the action that takes place. The only willful choice one has is the quality of attention one gives to a thought at any moment. The strain of attention is the fundamental act of will. That is a powerful statement. So in recovery work, we hear often, oh, willpower is not enough, etc., etc. But our will is uniquely involved in this recovery process. It has to be. But it's understanding, acceptance, and surrender, accepting and surrendering to the fact that you cannot stop the triggers from coming from time to time. That's not the big issue. The big issue is, how do you choose to respond to them? And through mindfulness and awareness training, you can learn to recognize the trigger immediately, and then choose to do something different with it. But if you don't really recognize it, if you're kind of in what's called a trance state, just going through life and then it just kind of takes over, then you continue to be in the pattern of acting out over and over again. One of the clients in group talked about the experience. He's really he's experiencing what's called leaning into the pain right now. Two types of pain in recovery work: the pain of self-discipline, the pain of regret. You know what pain of regret feels like. That's when one acts out and then you feel terrible about it afterwards. The pain of self-discipline, and then another client I worked with yesterday said the pain of regret is excruciating, whereas the pain of discipline is purifying. And it's a choice to lean into it. So this one individual is coming home from school, and he says he's really been triggered heavily the past few days because for the first time in months, in years actually, he's been sober for about a month and a half, which is really significant for him. But it's really, the triggers are really, really hitting him again. But he was walking home from school. He's attending college right now. He says he clearly heard the addictive voice. He was walking home and it said, boom, no one else is going to be at home. We can get online, look at some things, just check a few things out. And he, because he's been in treatment, was able to recognize it. He goes, oh, there you are. There it is. There's the beast. And then he was able to play the tape forward, basically saying, okay, what will happen if I act out? Now, the limbic region of the brain where this thought came from, it doesn't want you to ask that question, because then that's engaging the rational, logical mind. What will happen if I act out? And then he played the tape all the way through, and he was able to redirect his thinking and do something else. However, those triggers are still with him. But he says he is learning, it's becoming a little bit easier day by day as he chooses to lean into it. But he's still fighting it a little bit, and so it was wonderful he came to group that we were able to say, hey, you know what? No, pull back of the fighting. You don't got to remain sober. You get to. And when you do this, no, I can't. Well, the minute you do that, the minute you empower this limbic region of the brain. So you just say, no, I can do that. I can go act out if I want to. However, I get to remain sober, and I choose to do it today. Now, this process of mindfulness and awareness and gently redirecting your thoughts, as is explained in Chapter 5 of the manual, a statement by Henry David Thoreau really capsulizes what I'm trying to portray with this. He said the following, and why it's so important to be consistent in this practice. He said, as a single footstep will not make a path on the earth, so a single thought will not make a single pathway in the mind. To make a deep physical path, we walk again and again. To make a deep mental path, we must think over and over the kind of thoughts we wish to dominate our lives. And so something I just encourage you to think about this week is the daily practice of small and simple things. And specifically what Chapter 5 talks about with the meditation that we work on in the Inner Gold System. You have a fantastic week. Ponder these things, and we'll talk to you next week.